And welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, getting the most out of all inputs is critical for farm profitability, and that includes nitrogen fertilizer. Delk Crozier, Maximum Farming Implementation Specialist for Ag Spectrum and Ohio Farmer, says cost is a top decision driver for all inputs, but the greatest cost is in using a product that doesn't perform like you need it to.
A lot of people look at nitrogen and just buy the cheapest form and apply that, when actually nitrate nitrogen drives the vegetative process of the plant and ammonia nitrogen drives the reproduction side of the plant. So you lose efficiency. It's not that you can't grow a crop. It's just the fact that you don't get the main efficiencies of how you're spending your money.
When it comes to nitrogen applications, he says the best way is a split-applied approach that matches the form to plant requirements.
Somewhat close to half and half. Ammonia is not available early in the plant season growth when the temperatures of the soil is cooler. So nitrate drives the activity of building cell structure and plant architecture, to where ammonia drives the reproductive side of ear filling and things.
Planning your nitrogen application strategy also needs to take into consideration of the hybrid classification you are using.
A type 1 or a workhorse is a hybrid that has a fixed ear. It's usually more tolerant of little stronger herbicides and things, has a stronger disease package and defense package. But you have to plant a higher population of it, and you also need to put it in an area where you have early water to drive early nitrogen needs, because it does metabolize up to 80% of its nitrogen prior to mid-sill. On the other end of the spectrum, you have the racehorse hybrid or a class 3 hybrid, and it metabolizes 60 to 80% of its nitrogen after mid-sill. And then somewhere in the middle, you have what they call a class 2, so that has some characteristics of both. But split nitrogen is always important to drive those processes.
Crozier adds it all comes down to maximizing profit potential per acre and not about spending more money with no return.
Whatever you do, it's important we all spend our money wisely and correctly. There's a lot of things that can be sold to us when we don't have the understanding of that, sometimes allows us to be more inefficient than others. I think it's just important that we all increase our knowledge on what really drives plant processes and mineralization in the soil and nutrient needs and timing and forms. When you focus on those things, you end up spending your money better and getting a better result from the outcome of the money spent.
Again, that's tips on nitrogen management with Delk Crozier, Maximum Farming Implementation Specialist for Ag Spectrum and an Ohio farmer. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is putting new programs and initiatives in place to bring more assistance to farmers, ranchers, and producers who were hit hard by COVID-19 market disruptions. The new initiative, called the USDA Pandemic Assistance for Producers, will reach a broader set of producers than previous aid programs. USDA is putting at least $6 billion toward new programs, half of the total $12 billion in aid that's now available. During a Zoom call with NAFB farm broadcasters last week, Secretary Vilsack said the resources come from prior COVID assistance packages as well as traditional USDA programs.
We're obviously focused on making sure that we're carrying out the formula payments under CFAP 1, 2, and AA, rolling those into this more comprehensive effort. This is going to allow us to make payments to farmers who have already received the benefits of these programs. Rules have already been written, not much administrative work to be done here. So we're in a position to make payments and to begin making those payments very, very soon in the month of April. Payments will involve, under CFAP 1, payments to cattle producers. They don't need to apply. They don't need to take additional steps. It's essentially providing additional resources.
Rates for those producers will get published at farmers.gov/CFAP. In April, USDA will also begin paying out $20 per acre payments to eligible crops under the CFAP 2 program. Those crops are either the flat rate or price-triggered crops. He says USDA is making changes in the aid package to help more people get the assistance they might not have received in earlier aid packages.
We're going to basically make some adjustments. There was an opportunity for swine producers and contract growers, poultry, to receive additional payments. The problem was the formula that was used in initial efforts really created a circumstance of inequity between the size of operations. And so we're going to try to smooth that out a little bit and try to make sure that we set up a formula that will allow for adequate resources and help to swine and contract growers. On sales commodities, which are a wider range of products, when we calculated the base upon which your payment would be made. We didn't allow them to take into consideration insurance that they may have received, indemnity payments, NAP payments, or WIP plus payments that they may have received. We should allow them to recalculate, if you will, and we're viewing this process and allowing them to essentially go back in time to basically shore up the amount of loss that they had in fact to sustain so that they get a payment that makes sense.
The agency is also using some existing USDA programs to provide assistance where it's needed most.
We're taking resources that come from traditional USDA programs that are specifically designed for local and regional food systems and basically getting them out the door in an expedited way. There's roughly $500 million that we've identified of new funding from these programs that we're going to try to expedite getting out the door quickly, which should provide help and assistance to small, mid-sized producers, specialty crop producers, and others. It's $75 million for farmers for training and outreach. That's designed primarily for socially disadvantaged farmers to give them some additional information and training.
The agency is dedicating at least $6 billion to develop new programs or modify existing proposals using funding from the Consolidated Appropriations Act and other coronavirus aid that went unspent by the prior administration.
We don't have the rules necessarily written because these are people and groups and entities that have not yet received money or haven't received sufficient resources from USDA. So we want to give them an opportunity to participate because they too have been impacted and affected by COVID. I'll give you an example. Dairy donation program. We recognized during the course of COVID how difficult it was for certain commodities to donate to food assistance. The transition from food service to food assistance was difficult. We're creating resources under a dairy donation program to make it a little bit easier to remove that disincentive for donation in the event we have future problems. We learn from this experience so that we're better prepared.
Again, more information is available at farmers.gov/CFAP. The National Foreign Trade Council last week relaunched the Tariff Reform Coalition. The coalition is a broad alliance of business and agriculture groups substantially harmed by the import tariffs imposed by the previous administration. The group urges the rollback of Section 232 and Section 301 tariffs, saying the tariffs are causing serious damage to those already struggling. The coalition says the Biden administration needs to reassess the Section 232 and 301 tariffs, and Congress should hold hearings to see if the tariffs are achieving their objectives. The coalition says tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum should be removed, and use of other trade laws more consistent with the WTO should be considered to address the issue of overcapacity. The coalition includes the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, National Pork Producers Council, Farmers for Free Trade, and others in the agriculture sector. The coalition made the request in an advocacy document directed at the Biden administration and Congress. And Farmers for Free Trade announced 5 new board members last week. Their coalition supported and comprised of America's leading ag organizations and businesses. The new board members include Michael Anderson, Trade and Industry Relations Vice President at the Corn Refiners Association, and Iowa corn farmer Bob Hemisoth, a National Corn Growers Association member. Additionally, Angela Hoffman, co-founder of Farmers for Free Trade, and Lauren Sturgeon, Cobank Government Relations Director, and Maria Ziba, National Pork Producers Council International Affairs Director, join the board. This has been another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day.